Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Howdy, hour number two. Hour number two. Tiki and Tierney, hope everybody's doing well. CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network on this President's Day Monday. We're coming from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. For 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. I'm quite sure, as a matter of fact, that before Rob Manfred sat down for a 45-minute interview with ESPN over the weekend, before Rob Manfred addressed the national media at a Q&A at the Braves' new spanking new facility, which looks incredibly sweet. A lot of these ballparks, I mean, they got baseball facilities are phenomenal.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it was
doing
a
good
where,
job with it.
70s and 80s, you had these cookie cutters, and they languished into the 90s in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and Candlestick Park, where they play, the Niners used to play before they built the beautiful Giant Stadium on 4th and King in downtown San Francisco. I mean, the stadium situation's been phenomenal. That's been outside of Oakland and, of course, Tampa. But the point is that the commissioner thought, I'm sure, when he had his morning coffee, took down his vitamins, did a little stretch, maybe did the inversion board. Who knows what Rob Manfred does to get ready. He had to think that he was going to do more harm, more good than he actually did. But what happened was he did more harm. He was not ill-equipped or unprepared like Crane was with the Astros.
Yep.
His messaging just was not even remotely close to being on point.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's almost frustrating. Look, this keeps going on. Like, we wanted to, like, I guess kind of let it go, but not really. We know that it's going to trickle into the regular season, maybe even in spring training, with guys getting thrown at and things of that nature, and the voices of the stars of the game who are going to get asked about this are going to opine, and every opinion is going to be negative. There's not going to be we forgive those guys,
like a sympathizer.
Yeah, there's not going to be any sympathy for these guys, right? You made your bed, like, and you got to sleep in it for as long as it takes for people to start feeling better about it. And so for Rob Manfred to be so out of touch with forget that he's out of touch with media or fans, right?
But you can't be out of touch as a modern-day commissioner.
I understand that, okay. But let's forget that for a second.
Just suspend that moment.
Okay, suspend it for a second. No, okay. To be out of touch with, like, the other players that are not Astros in Major League Baseball, I mean, that's almost unforgivable, Rob Manfred. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I'll tell you, his commissioner started with a bang. I was very impressed. We had him on the show. We loved the conversation.
That's right.
I saw a visionary. I saw somebody who with a modern principles who would straddle effectively, and it's not easy to do in baseball, you know, remaining married to, you know, the purest nature, the aspects of the game that people don't want to see overhauled or even tweaked, but at least infusing and incorporating some new thoughts and modern technology and blending it all effectively. We all thought that Rob Manfred was a terrific hire, at least the way he acquitted himself early on at the job. Now I'm starting to think they have the wrong guy running the show. I mean, I really am. And I got to tell you, I'm going to play a few of these cuts, but the biggest disservice for everybody, you know, and we'll do this next segment about policing the game and, you know, how he warned other players. That's next segment. We'll really spend a lot of time on it. I can't wait to get to that. But all the different aspects, all the different branches, if the digital scandal is one big tree, all the different branches that come from that big tree, he's missed on them all. But the biggest miss, and nobody's talking about this, nobody's saying this, the biggest disservice to the sport is not dealing with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand. You got to do the proper investigation. We need to be thorough. Oh, that's all well and good. So what's the plan here? A week before the season, penalize the Red Sox so that can overtake the start of the season?
That's a good point.
Or do you actually drop it in the middle of the season and then it could just become a talking point that really, you know, takes away all the juice from the season?
Yeah.
This should have been handed out in one swooping motion. Astros, you got this. Red Sox, you got that. And away we go.
Yeah, you're right. Right. As
he's
opposed
just dragging it on.
Well, here's the thing, though, BT. As you think back on it, it's almost like, and again, some people, not me because I'm not close enough to it, but I can understand those that are. Some people are starting to question, like, how much investigating they actually did.
Mm-hmm. That came out last week.
Right? Whether it was just like, hey, Jose Altuve, did you cheat?
Don't lie to us, Jose.
Did you wear a wire? What did you do, Jose Altuve? Well, you know, what happened was we did this. And it was Alex Cora, man. Can you believe what Alex Cora did? Or Carlos Beltran. I mean, I felt powerless to, like, fight back against
I felt bullied,
Carlos
Kamish.
Beltran. I felt bullied. That's what happened, Kamish.
Next, Bregman, come on
exactly.
in.
Exactly. They all say, like, something similar to that. And, like, he's like, all right, fine. I got it. Yeah. I got the punishment. Here we go. And they hand down this punishment that just misses.
Uh-huh.
And it felt good at the time.
It did.
But it just misses. And especially when you find out, probably about the same time, that the Red Sox are also involved in this. Coincidentally, Alex Cora, was the skip there. Like, wait, pause. Mm-hmm. Actually, dig deeper into this, and he didn't. He rushed it because he wanted to, like, have his champion crowning moment. And the problem with doing that is that when you're not diligent in your initial go, that's what lives, right? Your first impression lives.
Point.
And now you're right, BT. I didn't even think about it, but the Red Sox penalty could come down next couple of days.
Still
it could come down next week. Whatever it is, it's going to reignite this conversation.
Oh, that's right.
And so it's just going to start over again. And by the way, the initial one with the Houston Astros hasn't even subsided yet.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we think is going to happen?
I know what's going to happen on this show. When things drop, we'll talk about them as thoroughly as we've been talking about them and probably as animated, as pissed off as we've been, because we're not happy. Let's play this for you. Two cuts. First up, Rob Manfred, and obviously this was a point of contention for many, including the two guys in this room, was asked if the Astros weren't punished enough.
The one thing that I do take issue with, the notion that anybody in the Houston organization escaped without punishment. They have been hurt by this. They will live with questions about what went on in 2017 and 2018 for the rest of their lives. And frankly, it's rare that for any offense, you have a punishment that you will live with for the rest of your life.
That's bad. He thought that he was really woefully
wrong. But you know
here.
What, though? You know what's so wrong about that, BT? Is that that's an after-the-fact punishment, right? It's you realize this because people aren't going to just all of a sudden forgive Jose Altuve.
But did you hear he got a tattoo?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He didn't want the world to see it wasn't finished.
That's right.
It was ugly.
That's what it was, right?
It's a bad body work.
I mean, it's almost like someone told him that. Here's a way to spin this, Rob, right? Our internal PR people. Let's spin this so that it actually looks like you didn't punish them. I don't care what you're trying to say. You offered them immunity. Like, the fact that their reputations are smashed doesn't do anything for those that are looking for punishment for cheating the integrity of the game for 2+ years, maybe longer, for all we know. So, yeah, he's spinning. He's playing spin doctor. And you're a commissioner. That's not what you're supposed to be doing.
He can play spin doctor all he wants. The average fan doesn't give a rat's behind about a GM who they couldn't pick out of a lineup.
That's right.
You know, most of them, if they were sitting next to A.J. Hinch on a train or a bus or an airplane,
exactly right.
They wouldn't even know it's A.J. Hinch.
No.
They want name recognition. That's what fans react to, especially the fans who legitimately feel that their teams were hosed by the Astros partaking to this degree of cheating. The Dodger fans, the Yankee fans. Now, listen, I'm not going to waste anybody's time, and I've never once advocated to strip them of the championship.
No.
Because it does nothing.
Doesn't make sense.
First of all, how...
It happened. We know it.
And how much... True. And how much of a loser would you have to be? What would you then... Like so the Dodgers haven't won it since 1988.
Yeah.
Would the Dodgers then have a parade? Like, what do you even do? Okay, we strip it from... Hey, Dodgers, we won. Do you, like... Do you pop champagne 13 months after the fact? What do? You do nothing. You get on with the next season. Rob Manfred has been very bad here. He's been very bad. I don't know how a smart man could be this off. But baseball has always struggled with making, you know, clear-cut, decisive moves in real time. They messed up free agency, Gert Flood. They botched that for years. They messed up the initial wave of steroids. They buried their head in the sand.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
what are you talking about? This doesn't exist.
Exactly.
These guys aren't doing steroids. Okay.
What is that syringe out of so-and-so's pocket? What is that? That's suspicious. Oh, it must be vitamin B. I mean, I don't get it. Maybe because, I don't know, man. Maybe because we sit here and we talk about everything.
Yeah.
We are less married to being absolutely right. And maybe when you, not that we want to be wrong, I'm not implying that, but when you're in charge of one thing, you have tunnel vision.
Yep.
And tunnel vision sometimes can provide distractions because all you care about is how it's perceived.
Yeah.
Whereas we have our takes, and our takes are right, and if they're not, we'll make an adjustment.
Yeah. I think the other side of this, BT, is, and we talk about this all the time in media, right? And with social media taking over, there's a reward, at least perceptual, for being first, like being fast. Whereas accuracy gets sacrificed.
It happens
every day.
Look about the Kobe crash.
Exactly right. It happens every single day, especially with big stories, and it changes. Like, it screws up your perception of what's actually happening.
Look what happened in New Hampshire.
That's
same
exactly
deal.
Right. Iowa.
Pardon me, in Iowa.
Exactly.
This happened.
Exactly right.
What happened?
Exactly
a day
right.
Later, we're still waiting. What happened?
Immediacy, like Trump's accuracy.
Yeah.
I almost feel like that happened here in this case. Like, they wanted to get out the result and a punishment immediately and feel good about it, but they didn't get it exactly right. And as a result, we're killing them, and fans are killing them, and their players are killing them because they didn't get it right. At the end of the day, being right matters.
It really does.
Not being quick.
No, especially for something with this shelf life here. I think that as they plotted this out in MLB headquarters, they knew they couldn't strip them of the championship. So what they miscalculated, well, they had multiple miscalculations, but what, and maybe I'm wrong on this, I believe that if they would have suspended the primary participants from the Astros and eventually the Red Sox as well,
yep.
And I don't mean for a whole year, I'm not saying you strip out
Tubi
the MVP,
I agree.
Even if it's a symbolic, you know what, you suspended 20 games, you know, you suspended the first month of the season, I think fans would say, you know what, it was pretty nebulous to begin with. It's a new time and digital
agree.
Advancements.
100%
you know
agree.
Good move, baseball. We
agreed.
Can move forward.
Right. We now have a precedent.
Yep.
So if you know exactly what the penalty is.
And now
right
you get
now,
twice. If you, yeah.
Right now, the penalty is
nothing.
You get a slap on the...
Oh, no, there is no penalty.
Yeah, there is. Your reputation takes a hit.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, your reputation is
that's
an
right.
extra.
That's what you're saying. Your reputation takes a hit, but who cares?
There's no penalty.
If Jose Altuve, you know, past this, goes and wins two more MVPs and another World Series, I mean, who the heck is thinking about this? You know, and when it's all said and done, there wasn't a penalty. Reputations can be fixed,
mm-hmm.
right? Penalties are forever, right? And so that's what he's missing. Like he's spinning this again, and it frustrates me that the commissioner is trying to play spin doctor. Like he has his PhD in PR or something. That's what it feels like. Like he's trying to pull like a fast one over on us, and we're going to say, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
You're not right.
It's ridiculous. I don't know how you can be so woefully off the mark. I don't get it.
Yeah.
He was even more off the mark on something you and I are going to get into coming up next here about player retaliation. Is Rob Manfred kidding me? We haven't even touched his biggest misstep of the weekend when he talked about this, how he thinks he could police it. He's out of his mind. We'll talk about it. We'll play the clip as well. This is almost funny. This is almost comical. It's so bad. We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, GEICO.com. So we continue with the Rob Manfred conversation, just butchering and botching such an important decision. You know, it's such a pivotal moment for the game. There's so many, we've talked for many years now about the you know, the infusion of athletic,
yep.
you know, explosive players.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the markets have hope. You know, there's a few that are obviously downtrodden that need to get their act together. But for the most part, everybody's got a really good, desirable stadium situation.
Yep.
TV revenue is up. I mean, all things are pointing in the right direction. And this really stuns some momentum here. And we're going to play this cut for you right now about Rob Manfred from his thoughts on not putting up with in-game retaliation, which, number one, is impossible to prove, and secondarily is incredibly naive. Here's the commish on that.
I hope that I made it extremely clear to them that retaliation in-game by throwing at a batter intentionally will not be tolerated, whether it's Houston or anybody else. It's dangerous, and it is not helpful to the current situation.
All right, whether or not you agree with that kind of, you know, retribution, how, you know, the game polices itself, and do you take a guy out at second? You know, do you go spikes high if somebody does something to you? Do you throw under somebody's chin? I'll leave it up to everybody to have their own interpretation of that. I'm a little bit more rooted in the old school mentality where if you hit somebody just because they took your yard, like the next guy, you punk him in the back.
I agree.
That is weak, and that deserves retaliatory action. But number one, let me ask you this. How in the world can Rob Manfred possibly police this with any sort of accuracy?
He can't.
It's a pipe dream. He can't.
Because there's an excuse for missing spots. You know what I mean? How do you know? Because anytime a Houston Astro gets hit now, then you're going to say, you're going to be penalized worse than they got penalized for cheating and stealing a World Series. Right? Seriously.
Yeah.
It's really hard to think about how mad the players are going to be if they get penalized for self-policing the Astros. Because it's going to happen.
No question. I've been saying that from day one. It's coming.
It can't not happen.
Yep.
So they're going to get harsher penalties than the Astros did. Now, DeSalle made an interesting point in the break, and I just don't know if I agree with it.
Go ahead.
So he stated that think about any criminal activity that happens and there's more than one person. So it's a collusion from people, different people. And one guy gets caught and they need to, spill on the other guys. Mm-hmm. They cut deals.
Oh, yeah. Right? Less than the sentence.
They cut a deal and, the head gets cut off, right? And Luna Allen and A.J. Hinch, right? You cut a deal with the players, you get the guy at the top. But the problem in this situation is that the guy at the top wasn't actually responsible for what was going on, right? It was more the players, and they were the ones who were executing the wrong, right? On a weekly, monthly, yearly basis. They were the ones that were doing it. It wasn't actually coming down. And if anything, the commissioner's report kind of exonerated A.J. Hinch, in a lot of ways. Now, it's still his fault because as the leader, he should have just squashed it immediately. Yeah. He allowed it to happen. But it was the players that were actually doing this.
And he showed signs of resistance.
In his own words,
didn't go far enough.
And so it's like it's like he got played by the players to take action against the skip and the general manager when they were the ones who were actually doing more wrong than anything.
Yeah.
So it's like, he got played.
Maybe. I want to know, somebody answer me this. Like, to me, this is incredibly hollow and laughable, really, at its core. If I'm a player and I'm listening to this interview on Friday or over the weekend, or even if I get around to it today, I say, okay, so the punishment's going to be more harsh if we retaliate for the Astros. So this is coming from the guy who didn't do a damn thing to the true perpetrators of the baseball crime.
Yep.
And you want to tell me, you want to threaten me, if I'm a player, you want to threaten me and be heavy-handed with me that I can't retaliate against them when nothing happened to them?
Mm-hmm.
How in the world is that equitable?
It's not.
It's not, which is why, he tried to drop the hammer and create a code of, I guess, ethics moving forward and how players should comport themselves. But it's going to fall on deaf ears.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I believe the first game, multiple Astros are getting drilled. I firmly believe that.
I don't disagree with
you, BT. Firmly believe it.
It's like he's protecting the cheaters in a way. And that's what's more frustrating. You feel that from the very first when they didn't get penalized, when you heard the word immunity. I don't know if he said it or if it was just kind of, included from outside sources to the players themselves, but you hear this word immunity for what they did. It angers you, right? And so now he's not actually doubling down, but he's like protecting them. So you give them immunity.
That's true.
And now you're protecting
them. That's true.
Right?
So, it's a good life. It's a good gig.
It's a good gig. Yeah. And I get it that the Astros, they had one of the great stories in baseball over the last 20 years, BT, like how they built this team from crap through their farm system to all these studs. So they drafted well.
Yeah.
They held on to them. They didn't trade them away. And they developed into these really great baseball players. They did something wrong. It's like the golden child, like the best kid in the class who just is, who turns out to actually be a bad kid and does some bad things. You still protect them. That's not right. Like, you don't learn from that. Not that we're talking about, you know, adolescence here, but the principle is the same. And it's why it's frustrating, because in all walks of life, when you do something wrong, you get punished for it.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting away with it.
Yeah, there's not an ounce of punishment.
That's how the players feel.
But they're right. That's how we all feel.
The other players feel. Yes.
That's how we feel. You think about whose legacies were most adversely mm-hmm. impacted by this. And, you know, Chapman, who's, you know, I mean, is he going to be a Hall of Famer? He might be, actually. I mean, his numbers are going to be there. So, temporary. Every Goose Gossage gave up bombs to George Brett. Eckersley gave up the bomb to Kirk Gibson in 88. I mean, it happens. I don't care how great. Mariano got touched up a couple of times. Yeah. Obviously, the broken bat base hit
Chapman's
in 2001.
Chapman's fortunate that he got a championship with the Astros. I mean,
with the Cubs. But if I'm Chapman, or if I'm Yu Darvish, or if I'm Clayton Kershaw, and maybe I'm missing another primary name.
Like an all-timer?
No. Who was most... Because it's like the Yank. Well, you could say maybe Aaron Judge, if you believe that Hal Tuve.
Oh, I believe that.
I could a little bit too. Whatever, but
I could make an argument for it.
Okay,
put it that way.
But Judge can't throw a pitch.
True.
Now he could try to take out Hal Tuve very aggressively at second base. But which pitchers truly look the worst because of the cheating? It's the three that I mentioned.
Yeah.
It's Chapman. It's Yu Darvish, and it's Clayton Kershaw. And if I'm any one of those three pitchers, I'm hitting somebody. I'm sorry. I'm hitting somebody. And I know that the eight other guys behind me are charging very fast.
Of course.
Because they know it's coming, and they'll help me out.
There could be a lot of cleared benches this year.
I've been saying this for months.
There could be a lot of them. And look, even if it's innocuous, even if it's like unintentional, the Astros themselves are going to be sensitive to this. Because they know the guys are coming after them, you know?
Yeah.
And so the littlest thing, the smallest slight is going to cause them to peak up and come out of the dugout, at least step to the top step in anticipation of something bigger happening. You're going to see it
a lot. And that will be met with aggression by the other team.
Of course
it
will
be. And the Astros on some level might have a right to respond, if you keep throwing it in my head, for sure. But I think if there's any movement, even if it's just top step of the dugout, little chirping, shoulders go back.
Yeah. Let me ask you this in an odd way, and I'm kind of smiling as I say this, but in an odd way.
I know what you're going to ask me.
Is this good for baseball?
Yeah. This actually is good for baseball.
I think it is, man.
This is good for baseball. And usually most of these stories are bad for baseball.
True.
But this will actually amount to eyeballs.
Well.
Because I think people will be genuinely and generally intrigued to watch Yankees-Astros.
Yeah, right.
More so than they would have been.
The Astros are now in a very unique situation because without all of this, they are very likable. But with this, they're villains. So they're, in a sense, they're like this likable villain.
They're not likable anymore.
I know, but you know what I mean.
That's expired 100%.
But they're like this likable villain, like this team that's really good, right? They're not dirty. It's not like they're, it's not like they come after you, the pitchers come after you, or it's not like they slide, aggressively or it's not like they're dirty. They're not dirty, right? They just cheated.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like the clean villain, which is not... Which
the white-collar villain?
Yeah, which is rare. That's a better way to put it, like the white-collar villain.
Mm-hmm.
Like you appreciate them in a sense, but you hate them because they cheated.
Yeah.
Right? It's I don't know. It's like the hedge fund manager who made $30 billion and is changing the world, but he cut into
our 401k.
Well, yeah, and he did it with insider trading.
Uh-huh.
It's like, dude, I admire you because you were hugely successful, but dude, you cheated to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It kind of feels that way about this Houston Astros team. It's unique. It's very unique.
Yeah, it is unique, and I also think that, to even answer that even more, I think that is this good for baseball? And I never say yes to this sort of stuff with baseball. My answer is yes. I also think it's good for baseball to have somebody with a villainous identity.
Yeah.
Because the Yankees haven't had that.
That's right.
Yankees had it for a while.
Did.
The Dodgers maybe in some circles because they had the blank checkbook and all the resources. But
they ultimately didn't win.
No, they didn't. You have to win.
They had that $300 million salary that one year, a couple of years, and they didn't win it.
Nope. Even Big Poppy, inherently likable across the country, even if he was, lighting you up with a 470-foot bomb. This is good. I don't see how this is bad for business for baseball. I just don't. Now, Rob Manfred can say whatever he wants, but I would think that somewhere deep down, he's got to know, not that he didn't butcher it, that he has to know,
yeah.
But that moving forward, that this could be a good thing. I mean, I don't know what the first schedule, like the first month of April, what the Sunday night games are. I'm so immersed in the other stuff. I do need to check that, though.
Yeah.
Whomever the Astros are playing, it doesn't matter who they're playing. You got to watch the games.
That's right.
And even if you just keep it on in the background, you have to see what happens because something is going down. I mean, listen, these are still young, you know, strong, type A personalities who have a lot of testosterone flowing through. They're not 50 or 60 or 70. They're in their 20s, and they're ticked off. And there's 29 teams that are unhappy, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. All right, coming up. The XFL. All right, so 2 weeks in the book here. That was a funny, right? I don't disagree. 2 weeks in the books. Some of the diehards are still singing the praises. The realists will chime in next. That's us. They have one issue that is not going away, and until it's fixed, the XFL cannot possibly flourish. We'll get to that after Axe Update, which is right now. Here's Rich. Okay, we're going to get to the XFL. Do we have to? Yeah, we're going to give it a couple of minutes here. Week two for the XFL. First up, though, it's time for Doing More, brought to you by the Home Depot. With everything you need to do project smarter, faster, and easier, welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. Over the weekend, a little Big 12 action. Kansas guard, junior guard Marcus Garrett, pretty hot from downtown, 6 out of 9. Jayhawks won by 17 over the OU Sooners. Garrett finished up with 24 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. So Kansas shot 50% from behind the arc while holding Oklahoma to 33%. Bill Self of the Jayhawks back at it tonight against Iowa State, looking to build on their 11-1 Big 12 record. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So, just want to read something for you. Well, let me ask you, Teek. You watched much more of the first. Actually, I didn't really watch any outside of just to get a sense of the graphics and see how the play call and the little quirky nature of the XFL, which was somewhat appealing. You stayed with it almost the entire weekend last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You watched definitely more than I watched this weekend.
Yep.
What'd you take away?
Interestingly, I thought that the problem that plagued the Alliance of American Football, and I remember saying this to you when I first got back, because I did that first game. It's like, man, this quarterback play is garbage.
Mm.
After watching week one, I thought, man, they might have dodged this problem, right? Some of these young quarterbacks who haven't got a chance, maybe they're they'll figure it out, or they're just better coached, or the schemes are more suited to their personalities or to their style of play in the XFL than we saw in the AAF. After week one, that's what I thought. After week two, they had the exact same problem that the AAF had. The quarterback play was utterly horrendous. I mean, maybe Cardale Jones looked good, but
Better on Sunday, to be fair, to the XFL.
Cardale Jones looked good. Yeah. What was the kid? Philip Walker. He looked good. Again, he was on the Colts practice squad, if you're watching us here on the network. So he had this sidearm throw. It was Pat Mahomes-esque. They scored a touchdown. So a couple of the guys were really good. But the most of them were just bad, BT. And that's going to plague this league because it makes it unwatchable football. Like, you get these ugly incompletions. It's, you know, the average completion percentage is under 60%. And you know what I mean? The touchdown interception ratio, BT, is like 24 to 19, which is bad. It's not watchable football
when
the quarterbacks aren't playing well.
Which is why I don't waste my time watching it. I told you this. I mean, listen, I'm not going to sit here and look at the league, this was going into week one, and denounce its future.
Yep.
That's not what I'm here for.
No.
I do think that there'll be some
I think
stories.
It's solvable.
You think it's solvable?
But go ahead.
Okay. I think that there's going to be stories that will, and players necessarily, you know, creating the stories, that will eventually find their way to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Some might be stars. I don't know if any quarterback's going to be stars. Some receivers might be stars.
Yeah.
You'll get some positional transferability, if you will. I think it's going to that's fine. And for the fan base that enjoy, I know Seattle had a huge crowd yesterday, which really bumped up the average attendance across the league. Terrific. But I was in my office Sunday morning, and I was looking. I didn't watch Saturday at all. But I started doing some research, and I came up with this. Now, again, this is before Sunday, where it certainly picked up offensively for the quarterbacks. Through 6 XFL games, there still hasn't been a quarterback with a 300-yard passing performance.
Yeah, wow.
Again, before Sunday's games.
Yep.
And XFL quarterbacks have collectively thrown as many picks as touchdown passes. Among the poor performances, Brandon Silvers of Seattle, completing 7 of 18 passes for 91 yards. Two Tampa Bay Viper quarterbacks combining for no touchdowns and 3 picks. And New York Guardians starting quarterback for now, or was, Matt McGloin.
Oh, he's done.
He was done.
They might cut him. Yeah, they should cut him.
And what he said about Gilbride. 8 of 19, 44 yards, no touchdowns, 2 picks before getting benched here. Cardale Jones of D.C. acquitted himself pretty well. Almost 300 yards, couple of touchdowns. He was certainly competent. But let me ask you a question. Why in the world am I going to sit on my couch and lock myself in my whether it's your man cave, whether it's wherever you watch your games?
Yeah.
Why am I going to watch this?
Because it's football.
But it's not the football that I want to watch.
True. It's football, and it's not going anywhere. So at the end of the day, this is a solvable problem, BT, because there are options out there at quarterback that you can it's going to take some investment, which is what they're not willing to do right now. Okay. But they might have to change their philosophy.
Said bringing Kaepernick, bringing Tim Tebow.
So Colin Kaepernick was approached, and as we heard, I think it was last week, he talked about this, or at least the league talked about this, yeah. Oliver Luck.
He did.
It was an exorbitant request,
yep.
Which makes you wonder, you know, does Colin Kaepernick actually want to play football?
Don't
or does he just want to, you know, do what he's doing, which is great. The things that he's doing off the field are fantastic. So, I mean, maybe he doesn't want to play football. Who knows? But this would be a way for him to own this league. And it's not going anywhere because it's backed by WWE, Vince McMahon's money. But they're unwilling to spend it right now. So Tim Tebow got asked to participate in the XFL. Mm-hmm. And this was his response.
There needs to be a place for a lot of players that are really good and should and could be playing in the NFL and are better than a lot of NFL players. So, and there's a chance they're going to be seen. So I think it's awesome. And I think it's good for a lot of guys that are going to get a spot in the NFL roster because they're going to show a team that they're worth it. But for me, this is what I wanted to do.
Yeah, so right now what he's saying, this is what I wanted to do. He's still trying to make the Mets. So he's not going to entertain coming to the XFL, which would at least bring star power. I don't know how good he would be, but at least he would bring star power.
Uh-huh.
But there are a bunch of quarterbacks, BT, whether it's Brock Osweiler, guys who have had like NFL time. Johnson. Johnson's already
He's
on the
already
team.
In it.
But there's a couple of guys that are like back end, you know, backup / third string quarterbacks in the NFL just hanging on that might be interesting in the XFL. Mm. And I'll give you a perfect example. Okay. Who he's been really good in the NFL, and I heard this name, and I was like, there's no way he would go to the XFL.
You said he was good in the NFL.
He was good in the NFL, but there was when I first heard this, there was no way he would go to the XFL.
Okay.
Marcus Mariota. Now,
what?
Hear me out. Is Marcus Mariota going to be a starter somewhere in the National Football League in 2020? Or in the future.
Honestly?
It's hard to think about. And that's exactly my thought. This is why I thought about this for a second. I was like, dude, there's no way, man. He's gonna.
I think he has more of a chance than you do, but I don't want to disrupt. Keep going.
He's,
I'm listening.
He's got a chance to play in the NFL. Like, why would he do this?
Uh-huh.
But the reality is he might not. With so many free agents and quarterbacks, the draft, guys looking for their future, there's not that many openings. And so what's he going to get? A $5 million deal to be a backup somewhere and hope that he wins out and gets a starting job? Well, if the XFL, and you said this last week, and I dismissed it, but I'm now reconsidering it after watching the quarterback play and how terrible it was this weekend, BT. Mm. If the XFL would spend some money, whatever the prorated number is, because you're not going to pay him $5 million, but you pay him a significant amount of money, $2 million, $3 million, to be the starting quarterback, you can start attracting guys who were fringe starters now relegated to backups in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
and that changes the nature of the game. It completely changes the game. Now, are they willing to go there? I doubt it because they want to develop, but I don't know if this league is long enough to develop, if the offseason's long enough. And so you're going to get stuck with the same problem over and over and over again unless you're willing to spend the money to fix it.
Who is the NBA equivalent of Marcus Mariota? I'm trying to think. Who is that guy You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be the second overall pick, but a guy who was drafted lottery, top 12, top 15. Fultz has gotten his act together a little bit, so I wouldn't say Markelle Fultz there. He's had some high assist games. And
I would say Wiggins, but I believe that the Warriors are going to fix him. So,
Wiggins. Yeah. No, Wiggins is miles ahead of Mariota in terms of what Mariota's done in the NFL versus what Wiggins. And I'm not even a Wiggins fan, but to be fair to the young, maybe Jabari Parker.
He's good.
Jabari Parker.
Or who is the guy from Duke?
Wendell Carter?
You went and saw him, and it's like, he's not going to. Jahlil Okafor.
Oh, yeah, Jahlil Okafor. Okay.
Maybe he's the example. Okay.
So let's say 2 years ago, before he was given a little reprieve on a secondary career, where he had no minutes and seemingly no hope, couldn't defend a pick and roll, not a good athlete, just didn't seem to have a great passion for the game. If you're drafted, first, third, eighth, ninth, you have that guaranteed, even though there's qualifiers, blah, 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 to extend the contract out like every sport. Why in the world would you go backwards? Like, why would Marcus Mariota go and play in the XFL against a bunch of guys that, in his mind, he has to view as scrubs?
Well, one, the starting opportunity, and two, this is a nascent league.
What if it looks bad? You're discounting that. What if he has one bad game? What if the offensive line that he's on is horrendous and he looks worse? Then he's never going back to the NFL.
That's a good point.
If I'm a quarterback, I'm never going. If I can hang there as a second or a third, I'm never going to the XFL. I don't know who's coaching me. I don't know about the infrastructure.
Well, you know who's coaching you.
Well, you know what I mean. But in terms of like the not just I know literally who there's the coach's
good,
name
there
is.
There are
yes,
some
I
good
that,
coaches in the XFL.
I'm not saying that there's not. June Jones has run Hawaii for 20 years. I know.
Jim Zorn is there.
Zorn's
Kevin
a guy.
Kevin Gilbride won 2 championships. I mean, there's some good coaches.
I'm not saying that they're not good coaches. I'm saying it's not a good league in terms of aesthetical appeal.
Yet.
They're averaging 17 points a game.
Yet.
17 points that's, a game but with all these rules changes.
But that's back to the original issue that we're talking about. The quarterback play is so horrendous.
I guess I don't see that changing. Yeah. And, here's the thing. Like, if Kaepernick...
Well, if it's a better quarterback, it'll change. You know what I mean?
Well, of course, yes. Quite literally, yeah. I mean, if you have a bad league because the quarterbacks are better, the league will be better. Where are you getting these quarterbacks from?
Part of the problem with the league is that it's pitched to some of these players as you're a young player who hasn't quite made it yet to the NFL, right? So come to this league. You're going to gain some valuable experience. You're going to get tape, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That applies for every position except for quarterback because you need to have established quarterbacks. Like you just can't function. It's like you need the big brother in the room or the dad in the room, and the quarterback is that guy. That's why a couple of guys who have had some really, not extensive, but like long, like 3-year experience in the NFL, even though as a backup, like Cardale Jones, is doing well, right? Because he's seen it. Like, he's been under Phillip Rivers, and where else was he? I forgot where else he was.
Buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah. So in Buffalo, with Tyrod Taylor, whether or not you want to say that that was valuable for him, it was.
Tyrod Taylor's a pro, man.
And it's showing for Cardale Jones. A lot of these other quarterbacks, they're just not good enough.
But how do we know... Not that it doesn't really truly matter, but I'm not trying to minimize Cardale Jones's performance so far. He played well yesterday.
Well, he has command. Like,
and he's a big boy. He's a big body.
At the end of the day, you haven't seen it, but I have.
I've seen highlights.
But you know what I mean. But like watching it in real time, he's in control.
Yeah.
Like he knows what he's doing. He's putting guys in the right position. When the ball is snapped, he knows where he's going with the football. Mm-hmm. If it breaks down, he can scramble and create something. Like, He looks like an NFL quarterback. Obviously, he's playing in an inferior league, but he looks like he's done it before. Whereas you look at Matt McGloin or who was the other guy? There was
Silver.
Not Silver.
Sliver, what's
not,
his name?
Not him, but there was another one. Landry Jones.
Brandon Silver.
Landry Jones threw 2 interceptions. Yeah, he should have thrown 4.
Duck Hodges is going to be in the XFL next year. That's
I mean, maybe, but whatever. Like, these guys look like they have no idea what they're doing.
I don't disagree.
And so
I can't watch it. I can't.
That's right. It makes it unwatchable.
It's tough. The thing about Kaepernick and Tebow, right? Now, if they were playing week 3, both of them, I would watch. I'm not going to be disingenuous. Of course, out of sheer intrigue to see where Colin Kaepernick's skill set is, and just because Tebow would, put his shoulder, I mean, I know he can't throw, but I know that he would be fun, he'd play hard, and that would be a little bit, it would be a sold out. I get all that. But that's probably, in hindsight, smart on the XFL not to acquiesce to the demands of either. Because I don't think that's a way to build the league either. Because Kaepernick, if he plays well, he's going right to the NFL. And everybody knows Tebow, even if he plays well, he's not playing in the NFL. So you need to build it from the ground up, not with a guy who gets you a ratings for 2 weeks. Mm. That's not sustainable.
Well, or a guy who just embraces it because you're paying him well enough, and he says, look, this is a good way to make a couple million dollars for a few years.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah, no, I mean,
think about what the average income is in America.
I hear you.
Right? Especially for former athletes.
Yeah.
Former, I say former. They're current, obviously, if they're playing in the XFL.
Well, we scratched our head when the hire was made, and now we're getting ready to scratch our heads again. The Cavs getting ready to fire Beilein. Wow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.